River Island's guest line. It is time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. And actually, we got a fun way to loop Great Clips into the start of this conversation. First off, good evening, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. We wanted to have some fun and actually offer you a $100 gift card to Great Clips. And if you can answer this question correctly, and in these cases, we like to play game show music on this show. So we've got that underneath you. And here you go, Steve. Do you know exact to the number your career free throw percentage?
Free throw percentage?
Free throw percentage, Steve Kerr, career.
I'm going to say 85.
Oh, so sorry. Very, very close.
You don't let him round up?
Well, even if you round it up, you're still not there. You shortchanged yourself, Steve.
Really? What was I?
86.4.
Okay, well, I was close.
Yeah, close. But I mean, we're not giving out gift cards for close. I mean,
that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, so by the way, to that end, free throw shooting, how do you approach this with a team when they're struggling, or even an individual?
Yeah, you know, I talk to guys individually periodically about free throws, but as a team, you know, the only thing we've really done in the past when we practice is we'll put pressure on them at the end of practice. Like, you know, you got to come out in front of the whole team and make two. But otherwise, you got to do an up and back. So we'll try to simulate pressure and we'll do that occasionally. But once the season starts, you know, you're hardly ever practicing. Most practices are walkthroughs. Your players are resting. You don't get to a whole lot of that. So most free throw shooting is done on an individual basis. And clearly I'm going to have to address it. And it's never really been an issue for us in the past. It's probably the first year I can ever remember that we've had, you know, real problems from the line. So definitely something we've got to address.
The good news is you're getting to the line more often, but the bad news is just 9 of 19 last night. Is some of this for players, and I'm thinking about pods individually, is it a confidence issue? Because it seems to me, just watching the games on TV, he's struggling with his shot, and then he goes 1 for 3 from the foul line as well.
Yeah, I think for sure. And free throw shooting generally is a confidence issue. You know, there are occasionally guys who just don't have a good stroke, and they're just going to struggle no matter, you know, whether it was Wilt Chamberlain or Shaq or someone like that. It's just, but that's not the case with our team. I think the guys who are struggling all have good shooting strokes. And so generally it's a confidence thing, and you just lose your rhythm. You lose your confidence. And then it's a lonely feeling when you go up there. And so, it really is something where you've got to have a mantra. You've got to have a routine where, you know, you're saying something. You're visualizing a great free throw that you had recently. But there are tools that you can use, and we obviously have to help our guys with that stuff.
Coach, take us through last night when you said, you know, on that last possession, you wanted to call timeout, but I guess you couldn't get the referee's attention in time?
Well, I was considering it, you know, I knew I didn't want to call it once we got the steal, because I'd rather play out of a scramble than, you know, set up a play. A scramble situation is exactly what you want. So we got the scramble, the ball was moving. Once it kind of looked like we were in some trouble, we almost turned it over a couple times. I started yelling timeout, but I'm all the way at the other end of the floor. And the only way you're going to get that timeout is if you're right in front of the ref. And as it turned out, we ended up getting a great look. I was proud of Gary for letting that thing go. He put a really good stroke on it and right off the back rim. So, you know, that's something you take in a scramble situation. You get a good look, that's about as good as you're going to do.
The bad news is 19 turnovers, and the good news is, as I was telling Mark earlier, down 9 with 3 minutes to go, and You showed some fight. When you look at that game last night, is it a glass half full of the rally late or the glass half empty of the overall sloppiness?
No, glass half full. And some of the reason for the glass being half full is the sloppiness itself, because I know we can get better. And, you know, we're doing some different things this year. Our patterns offensively are a little different. We're putting Steph and Draymond in some different situations. So they're going to get better, as is our whole team. But it's really up to them to to us execution-wise to see the pictures cleanly and recognize when to attack, when not to. And I just thought we got into a little bit of a rush. Both games we've played the Clippers, they've gotten us into a little bit of a rush. They're an excellent defensive team. And, and we started turning it over. But the good news is second half, only 6 turnovers, obviously played much better, even without making a ton of shots. So I feel really good about our team.
Steve Kerr with us, Withard and Dibbs, as he is every week here, 95.7 The Game. Coach, I hope there's been enough space between last Friday night and now to where we can at least look back on it with a little bit of a half chuckle. I wonder, based on some video we saw, when the game ended against Memphis, Moses Moody clearly knew, right? He knew that you were hot. Like, what was going on over there where he sort of knew right away, I better protect my coach?
It was just a frustrating fourth quarter. You know, quarter and a half, all the fouls, the game was so disjointed. So it was not fun to experience that down the stretch. I'm never proud when I, go after officials. These guys are, they're all good guys. They work hard. They're doing their best. I thought it was a tough night for them. And that's what I was letting them know, but I didn't particularly think it was a good look for me.
When you look to impart that message, and you don't normally let the passion get the best of you, but what is the way that you feel like you can impart that? Because the crew did have a rough second half, and you do want to get that point across, and we all wait for the last 2-minute report, which is a bunch of hooey, if you ask me, because they don't fix anything.
Yeah,
but
it is.
How do you get your frustrations out in the appropriate way?
Well, you try to be patient and have civil conversations with the officials and I felt that was happening through most of the game, and then I sort of lost my mind. So it's just I'm pretty competitive and I can snap once in a while, and whether it's on the team or on a clipboard or on a ref. And like I said, I'm not proud of those moments, but it is who I am.
Or heck, even Steph Curry sometimes, right? Like, how about this, Steve? I don't know if you heard this yet, but Draymond went on the podcast and was sharing a little bit of his perspective when he was watching you kind of get on Steph at the end of that Boston game. Have you heard yet what he said about that?
No.
Okay, here, let's play it for everybody. I would love to hear your perspective on what his perspective was.
I'm immediately watching that and I see it. And I'm watching Steph's reaction and how he responds to it. Because if he responds negatively, I've already told myself, like, I need to go talk to Coach and make sure Coach understand the reaction. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To make sure Coach understand, hey, Steph ain't respond great to you yelling at him like that.
Yeah.
Let's just keep an eye on that. So that's already my mindset. You have to know what make your guys tick and what makes and what makes them not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I'm watching that like a hawk. In turn, I'm then watching the post-game press conferences. And Steph like, nah, I want to be coached like everybody else. That statement lines up with the way you continue to play after you and Steve had your moment. I wash my hands and I'm on to the next thing.
I think that's a fascinating view to the inside of how you guys as a group kind of handle a situation like that. What's your response to what he's saying there?
I think he's dead on. I think it's my job as a coach to know how everyone's going to react. And I learned in year one with Steph that I could yell at him and I would get a good response. He does want to be coached. What he said to the media afterwards is the truth. And I've had experiences with other guys where, you know, I yelled at them or got on them and they didn't respond well. And I marked that in my mental Rolodex and I didn't yell at them anymore because in the game, because that wasn't an effective way to coach them. So it's up to me to understand how each guy's going to respond. I think the biggest thing, and Steph knows this, Draymond knows this, I'm coaching those two guys this year to take care of the ball, because if they don't, we can't win. I've said this to the media many times. We can't play like we did 5 years ago and expect to win, because we don't have an overwhelming talent advantage like we did then. So it's up to me as a coach to demand the things that we need to do to win the game, and both Steph and Draymond understand that and respect that, and that's why they let me coach them.
Do you have to have a little bit more turnover tolerance this year, Steve, because you're asking for a faster pace and you're also asking for more ball movement?
No, because the counter to that is we are much more organized this year than we have been in the past. In the past, we haven't insisted on perfect spacing and we haven't insisted on, you know, getting to spots and then playing kind of secondary offense out of the break. We've really given them a lot of freedom, and it's been very successful. But the last couple of years, you know, we have not done well. We won one playoff round in 2 years. So this year required some changes. We're still moving the ball, but we're doing it out of more structure, and we're demanding this structure. And we're getting there. We have a long ways to go, but I'm really encouraged. Even watching the tape last night, there's a lot of good stuff. And all this stuff is really nuanced. You know, you're not going to be able to see it just by me, you know, saying this. I'd have to kind of break down the tape with you. But because we're doing some different things, we're demanding different things, that doesn't give them license to turn it over. It's the exact opposite. We're demanding that they take the ball, take care of the ball, as we get better organized and better spaced.
Coach Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, I know he's out tomorrow, but do you have any further update on DeAnthony Melton?
Not yet. We will soon. You know, he's been seeking you know, other opinions, and we've really been evaluating everything, just trying to get him the best advice he can get, and we're obviously very concerned. You know, anytime you're talking about an ACL, it's I have one in college and you know, tore it completely and had surgery and you know, it's a serious injury. So we're really taking our time and making sure, you know, DeAnthony gets all of the advice he needs.
Steph, with a less serious knee ailment, I won't even say injury, with reportedly he's probable with bursitis. Are you and the staff starting to already take a little bit of a look at where you might be able to give him rest? I don't want to use the phrase load management, because that's a dirty word and I could lose my job for cursing like that. But are you guys starting to look at it, Steve, early on?
No, we honestly just you know, to sort of take it week by week, and you know, how's Steph feeling? You know, how is he banged up at all? What's the schedule look like? And he's, you know, he has had the knee issue, and so we'll continue to monitor it. But you know, if he's injured and needs to sit, then he's going to sit, and that's the way it is. So we'll just we'll navigate the season as best we can.
Even when he is playing, it feels like this year the quote non-Steph minutes are more productive than they were last year. How are you feeling about non-Steph minutes?
I feel great about them. I think we have such a deep team. We have so many guys who can make decisions and handle the ball. So I think our non-Steph minutes to this point have been really good. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I believe they're well on the positive side. And that's a testament to our players and the depth of our roster and, you know, the job that Mike Dunleavy and his staff did this past summer. I really love this group. I love the way the pieces of the puzzle fit. And, I've said it this first month of the season. I think we're better suited to handle those non-Steph minutes, non-Draymond minutes than we have been for a long time.
Jonathan Kuminga's been a big key coming off the bench, and it's been, you know, a couple of full weeks now of him being ostensibly a sixth man for you. How comfortable is he getting with this role, and are you seeing this now as really the long-term fit for Jonathan?
I like the role for him because he gives us something that we need, you know, that force, that ability to get to the rim, ability to get fouled. He's had a great run here coming off the bench, and so I anticipate that will continue. But, you know, you're always one injury away from everything changing potentially. So you just take it game by game. But I love what JK's doing for us, and his attitude and his approach have been fantastic. And you know, again, the team has come together well. Everybody's committed, and it's fun to watch.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs. Coach, I could throw numbers out to our audience, but I actually, when I think of Brandon Pajemski, I think you've always talked about all the things that he does that don't really show up in numbers. But some of the numbers don't, you know, even the non-numbers. Like his play right now, he looks like he's searching a little bit. What do you see?
Yeah, same. He's searching a little bit. This is not, you know, unusual for a young player to have some, you know, a bump in the road. He's such a good player. He just has such good feel for the game and for what wins. And but even among, you know, during his shooting struggles, he is he's playing at a really high level. But we know he can play a lot better, and that's exciting.
0 for 4, 16 minutes, 1 point, yet a plus 2 in the plus minus. And I know it's a small sample, but that to me is indicative of a guy who is at least contributing to winning basketball.
He seems to be, you know, on the plus side every single game. You see the subtle things that he does. I thought his rebounding against Memphis to start the second half, you know, we started him in the second half because Lindy was injured. And he got 3 or 4 rebounds in traffic, and then we went down and scored the other end and broke the game open. Those plays are massive. The ability to get the ball, you know, out of traffic and make the right pass and create the advantage that you need offensively. He does stuff like that all the time, and he's a winning player, and he's going to get a lot better as he finds his groove again.
Steve, I want to jump out of the box here for a second and ask you something, your perspective on something I hear a lot of people right now say about the San Francisco 49ers. I wonder if you can relate. Really, really big expectations. A team that has gone through a number of years of playing extra games, going into January, going into February, and people are looking at them now and wondering if there's sort of an emotional exhaustion that might be affecting them in some way. And I wonder what your perspective is, having been on a run with so many teams that play so much extra basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be clear that I'm not talking about the Niners, because I don't know,
sure,
you know, what the vibe is in the building. But I can say from experience that, you know, you have a run like this that lasts, you know, 6-7 years, it is exhausting. There's no question. And, you're climbing the mountaintop and, you know, trying to get there year after year, and you get there and then you got to start all over again. And it's not easy. This stuff, you know, this stuff is so competitive. Everybody's gearing for you. Man, it's tough. So we've been there and we understand, you know, that kind of emotional wear and tear for sure.
And when you got there to that point in the Toronto loss, and then there was the pandemic, and then it was the play and miss, and then you got back and you won another title. Did it take a couple of years to really reestablish that authentic hunger to get back there, or is that an overstatement?
No, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, we obviously lost a ton of guys, you know, that first year after the Toronto series. So that was tough, but I do think that having a couple of down seasons, you know, not making the playoffs, gave guys a longer off season, made them hungrier, and that did set up the 22 season for sure.
Hey, Steve, is it too early for looking at any standings whatsoever and at least making the judgment that, boy, the West looks a lot deeper than the East, and so we can predict the complaints at the end of the season of like, right, like somebody who won 45 games missed the playoffs, but in the East they won 36 and they're the sixth seed.
Yeah, I mean, it might happen. We'll see how it plays out. It's obviously early, but it does appear the West is much deeper than the East this year. You know, but that's why we have to be on top of our game. That's why I have to yell at Steph Curry for a turnover. That's why I have to demand the things that I need to demand. Because, I mean, a year ago we missed the playoffs by two games. And, you know, two years prior to that, I think we won, if I'm not mistaken, we won 51 games and won the championship. You know, so the difference between you know, being in a great spot in the playoffs with a good seed and having a chance for things to break your way versus, you know, you're in the play-in and you have a bad night and you're out. I mean, it's very slim. The margins are so slim with all this stuff. And especially now in the West, given how deep the whole conference is.
I'm less concerned with the West than I am Group C. 2-0, Steve, off to a good start in the NBA Cup. Does it get the juices flowing when you have one of these Cup games, knowing that you know you guys are just a couple of wins away from maybe something special and unique?
It actually does. You know, it's funny. My impression here in year two is that you know, if you can win the first one or two like we have, then all of a sudden, you know, your ears perk up. And if things go wrong, you know, if you've got a bunch of injuries or whatever, and you have a tough night, you lose the first one, or, you know, maybe all of a sudden you're just kind of like, well, it's not meant to be. But our guys are excited. You know, we have another Cup game in New Orleans this week. If we win that one, we're in great shape. We'd be 3-0, and everybody else has at least a loss. And it's, you know, it'd be pretty interesting to advance, our guys are competitors. You know, they love to win, and it would be fun to advance and see if we could you know get going in that thing.
Yeah, Steve, I thought I read your lips after the Memphis game. What you said to that ref was, "This is the NBA Cup, and you're ruining our chances."
Something like that.
Point
differential's a thing.
Point differential. Yeah. Hey, couple quick things before you go, Steve. How's Kevon Looney feeling, and might he play tomorrow night?
He's feeling better. He got a workout in today, and so I think he's questionable for tomorrow, but knowing Loon, I think he'll be ready to go.
Okay, and reportedly the Dodgers meeting with Juan Soto today. Your thoughts?
Oh, my God. As if they need any more talent on their team. So how about the Giants? Are the Giants getting a meeting with Soto?
TBD, Steve.
All right. I hope they do, because watching that guy hit is there might not be a better guy to watch. The way he glares at the pitcher,
right?
Nods his head after a good pitch, you know, kind of agrees with the pitcher's choice. You know, I love watching that guy hit. He is incredible. So I hope he comes here. That'd be fun to watch every night.
That'd be great to see him hit 420 feet out to right center and having the right fielder catch it, don't you think?
Well, appreciate you guys. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Okay, take care. Yeah.